Welcome to the Choate Family Office podcast series. On this show, we explore important topics related to wealth management, investing, and managing risk across generations.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to our Choate podcast series. I'm Tamer Alameddine, Managing Director at Choate Investment Advisors, and I'm joined today by my colleague, Jessica Walsh, Portfolio Manager and Financial Planner on the investment team.
Thanks, Tamer. Glad to be here.
Today, Jess and I will be talking about retirement savings, specifically Roth contributions. Jess, can you start us off by sharing why this is such a timely topic?
Yes. New rules taking into effect in 2026 require individuals earning more than $150,000 a year to make their 401k catch-up contributions on a Roth basis. In light of this change, we thought it would be helpful to provide a brief refresher on Roth savings and how it fits into broader retirement strategies. Before getting started, I want to be sure our listeners consult with their Choate team before implementing any of the techniques we share in this podcast. There are many factors beyond our discussion today that influence retirement planning strategy.
So, Jess, I know Roth contributions are post-tax, which means taxes are paid before the contribution is made. Traditional contributions are made pre-tax. How do you determine if a Roth or traditional retirement contribution makes more sense?
When deciding between a Roth and a traditional retirement contribution, it helps to start with the rules around eligibility. For 2026, Roth IRA contributions phase out at higher income levels. Individuals can no longer contribute once their modified adjusted gross income exceeds $168,000. For married couples filing jointly, those eligibilities are above $252,000. Employer plans work differently. Roth 401k contributions have no income limits, so even high earners can continue contributing on a Roth basis. The underlying principle in choosing between a Roth and a traditional contribution is simple. You generally want to pay taxes when your tax rate is lowest. For young professionals with a lower tax bracket, paying taxes now using Roth contributions can be advantageous because their income and their tax rate likely rise over time. In contrast, someone who is in their peak earning years is currently in a high tax bracket may benefit from more traditional or pre-tax contributions since their tax rate in retirement is typically expected to be lower, making the tax deferral more valuable.
Great, that's very helpful. Once retired, how are withdrawals from traditional 401k/IRAs treated compared to withdrawals from Roth accounts?
Yeah, this is a really important point. Traditional IRAs and pre-tax accounts withdrawals are taxed as ordinary income since the taxes were deferred when the contributions were made. And these accounts are also subject to a required minimum distribution, also known as an RMD, beginning at the applicable starting age, which depending on your birth year is between 73 and 75. In contrast, a Roth IRA withdrawal is tax-free in retirement as long as two conditions are met. You are at least 59 and a half and the account has been open for 5 years, a combination known as a qualified distribution. Roth IRAs also don't have any RMD during the owner's lifetime, giving the retiree more flexibility to manage their taxable income. Moving into retirement with a mix of pre-tax and Roth assets provides valuable flexibility when managing your tax burden. This mix allows you to strategically control your taxable income, drawing more on a Roth account in years when your additional income may push you into a higher tax bracket, and using pre-tax in years when your taxable income is naturally lower. Having both of the accounts offers protection against future uncertainty. Tax laws and tax brackets can change over time. No one can predict what future Congresses may do. Because a Roth IRA withdrawals are tax-free and have no required minimum distribution, they provide a hedge against potential tax increases, while pre-tax accounts give you the option to defer taxes until later years.
Thanks, Jess. We've been talking about it for the individual, but now let's shift to the estate planning angle.
Great. Also valuable. When thinking about Roth versus traditional accounts for estate planning, one of the key distinctions is how each is treated when inherited. Traditional pre-tax accounts pass along their income tax burden to the beneficiary. Non-spousal heirs who inherit a traditional IRA and are subject to the 10-year rule must fully deplete the account within 10 years, paying ordinary income tax on every dollar withdrawn. This can create a significant tax burden, especially if the beneficiary is already in a high tax bracket. Roth IRAs have the same 10-year rule for non-spousal beneficiaries, but the major advantage, withdrawals are tax-free, assuming the original owner satisfied the 5-year rule before death. This results in far less tax impact for the heirs. From an estate planning perspective, a Roth IRA is generally more advantageous because the original owner is not required to take RMDs during their lifetime, allowing the account potentially grow tax-free for decades. This extended compounding and combined with the beneficiary's ability to withdraw tax-free make a Roth a powerful vehicle for leaving assets to the next generation with minimal tax friction.
Got it. And are there other retirement planning techniques that will be helpful to share with our listeners in regards to Roths and 401ks?
Yes, there are several strategic planning opportunities centered on Roth accounts. If most of your retirement saving is in pre-tax accounts, it may make sense for you to consider a conversion during years when your income, therefore your tax rate, is temporarily low. This often occurs in the window between retirement and starting Social Security benefits and required minimum distributions. By converting pre-tax funds to a Roth, you pay taxes up front, but you secure tax-free growth and eliminate the RMD on those assets. Another advanced strategy is the mega backdoor Roth, available through certain employer retirement plans. The IRS caps 401k contributions, including the employee deferral and the employer contribution, at $72,000 in 2026. That's before any catch-up. If you contribute the max employee deferral and your employer provides a match, any remaining room under the limit can be filled with after-tax 401k contribution. These after-tax dollars can then be moved into the plan's Roth component or rolled into a Roth IRA. It's important to complete this transfer promptly because any investment earnings that accumulate in the after-tax contribution while it remains in plan would be taxable upon withdrawal, undermining the tax-free benefits.
Okay. Now this is getting complicated. You mentioned catch-up. What about the newly implemented rules and how do they affect catch-up contributions?
Yes, of course. The Secure 2.0 Act of 2022 introduced a new requirement that high-income earners must make their 401k catch-up contributions on a Roth basis. When the Secure 2.0 Act was first passed, plan administrators and payroll providers raised concerns that the timeline wasn't realistic for implementation. So the IRS created an administrative transition period and pushed the effective date to January 2026. This rule applies only to catch-up contributions in employer plans. For 2026, the catch-up limit is $8,000 for individuals 50-plus, and there is a higher $11,250 super catch-up for those between the ages of 60 and 63. Anyone eligible for a catch-up contribution who earns more than $150,000 in FICA wages in 2025 must make contributions as a Roth, not pre-tax. The first step our listeners need to take is to confirm if their plan actually offers a Roth option. If it doesn't, under these new rules, high income earners simply cannot make catch-up contributions at all unless the plan is updated. From a planning perspective, this shift is important. Moving catch-up contributions from pre-tax to Roth means you're locking in paying today's income tax rate in those dollars. Depending upon your situation, it may make sense to reevaluate. But for clients who already view the Roth savings as a long-term or estate planning strategy, continuing a Roth contribution can still make sense, especially if they expect to stay in a similar or even high tax bracket in retirement.
Thanks, Jess. A lot to think about here. As a special reminder for our CHOKE clients, please reach out to your team, as there are lots of other angles to this conversation that may affect you. And for everyone else, remember that it's also a good idea to talk to a financial advisor to make sure your retirement saving strategy is tailored for both you and your family. Hope you enjoyed this podcast. Be sure to tune in for our next podcast next month.
The information provided in this recording is for informational purposes only. While CHOATE Investment Advisors makes every attempt to present accurate information, the information in this recording may not be appropriate for your specific circumstances, and it may become outdated over time. The views expressed on this podcast are personal opinions only and should not be construed as financial advice for your given situation. Moreover, the views expressed by our guests are not necessarily endorsed by CHOATE Investment Advisors, and CHOATE Investment Advisors may decide to select investments on a different basis at any time without prior notice. Finally, as everyone should know, past performance is not a guarantee of future performance.